Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 28th of August. Coming up today, we have an update on the Folkestone Sports Centre after it closed suddenly last month. And we'll also hear from a marine conservation group about the amount of dolphins and whales being spotted in the channel. But first, taking a look at our top story, a teacher who paid £2.50 to park at a country park is being threatened with court action from debt collectors. Tom Green had a meeting in Lullingstone Country Park in Ainsford in February to discuss a charity event for his school. When he tried to pay at the meter, the screen was blank, but he eventually made a payment using his phone and a ticket was issued that he displayed in his windscreen. A few weeks later, he received a £35 fine for not having a valid ticket. 6 months after that, he appealed twice and the fine has now increased to £140. He's also been sent three letters from Debt Recovery Plus threatening court action. He's been speaking to our reporter Ellie Hodgson for the podcast.
When I first got the initial charge, or the initial £35 fine, I thought, well, this isn't a problem. I've got the evidence that I paid. I'm sure that my appeal will work. I also included why I was there and charity. So I thought that there would be a sort of reasonable, balanced response. But I was pretty worried about the idea of doing something on behalf of my school and ending up with a charge, you know, for it. I'm also just a teacher, so, you know, you could shrug your shoulders and say, well, £35 is neither here nor there, but it is, you know, it's a significant amount of money. You fast forward it to it being 140 and the threat of it being another, you know, up to 235, I think the next one was. And you know, without being melodramatic, it has caused me stress during the holidays, you know, because I'm getting these repeated letters. With Debt Recovery Plus, I tried, you were able to call them and have conversations, and I have had conversations with them three times now. And they actually have seemed reasonable, and including the first person that I spoke to, agreed that there seemed to be my case seemed a little strange because it was clear that I'd have evidence that I'd paid. So she referred it back to Euro Car Parks. And then in my second conversation, it sounded as though she'd been told that that was not appropriate because she was new to the company. So, you know, even they acknowledged that it's not something that should be happening. I found that, you know, I've found myself thinking, well, let's just get this out of the way and perhaps just pay it, because then, you know, it's gone. But I don't think it's fair. I've done nothing wrong. I don't think it's fair to both myself and other people who might well have been put in this position to just ignore it. It feels like a company that's bullying its way to taking money.
Euro Car Parks, who manage the site, has been contacted for a comment.
Kent Online News.
A Swale councillor has appeared in court accused of sexual offences dating back almost 40 years. James Hall, who represents the Merston ward in Sittingbourne, has pleaded not guilty to 31 charges, some of them against children. The 75-year-old who lives in Tongue Road in Merston has been released on bail ahead of a hearing in October. A prison workshop instructor from Medway is due in court accused of having an inappropriate relationship with a convicted murderer. 33-year-old Hayley Jones from Peterborough Gardens in Strood has been charged with misconduct. She's due in court alongside 31-year-old Jordan McSweeney, who's serving a life sentence for the murder of Zara Alina in Ilford in 2022. A drug driver has tried to blame a large bird on the road as the reason behind her bizarre driving in Horling. Amy Gregory was pulled over after being spotted driving slowly down the high street in March. She later tested positive for cannabis. The 40-year-old, who lives in the high street, was banned from driving driving for 12 months in order to pay more than £340. Video at Kent Online shows a group of pro-Palestine protesters causing damage at a Kent packaging company. Palestine Action used a hammer to smash their way into Kite Packaging's regional distribution centre in Sheppey Way in Bobbing. The group say the company is working with Elbit Instro, who they've accused of sending military equipment to Israel. Administrators brought in following the sudden closure of Folkestone Sports Centre say they've seen encouraging interest from potential buyers. The community were left in shock when the facility closed its doors last month after the charity which runs it said it could no longer afford to remain operational. Nick Hood is from Opus Business Advisory Group, who says they've been approached by a number of parties.
All our focus is on finding a leisure centre operator to take this this site on. But there is this problem that as administrators, we have an obligation to take the best offer for the creditors. May not necessarily be the highest offer, but certainly the best offer. You know, that's our legal obligation. It's enshrined in law. And so there is this sort of conundrum that we face, that we fully understand that this is of huge interest to the community. I mean, this centre's been there 50 years. It plays a huge role, role in the health and well-being of an awful lot of people in and around Folkestone. So we've got that. If we arrive at this point where the highest offer and the best offer is from a developer, well, then these covenants and legal opinion will come into play, because, you know, clearly there is this sort of awful tragedy that if we can't find a buyer to operate the site, but we can't sell it to a developer, then one way or another, that's not an outcome that anybody wants, because what nobody wants is a derelict site sitting there not doing anything for the community in one way or another. So that's really where we're at the moment. We're in that period where, you know, the administrators have done all the front-end administrative stuff, secured the site, we're keeping the pools maintained so that it can be reopened quickly when we find an operator for it. So we're doing all of that. We're liaising with the district council, with the town council, with the local MP, and those discussions continue and are entirely harmonious, I'm delighted to say. You know, huge help from all of them, so that's brilliant. And now we're in this sort of period where our specialist agents are marketing the site, putting together the sales pack. That'll be going out to interested parties pretty soon. And, you know, we would hope that if the initial interest that we've had turns into serious interest and we can verify, because one of the most important things you have to do as administrators is it's no good wasting your time and money on time wasters. So we have to verify, do due diligence that the buyers who say they're interested can actually perform. So that's another process. Timing of coming up with an answer here, who knows? We would hope to be at serious bidder stage probably in the next 4 weeks or so. And then you're in a process which will involve the lawyers and, you know, crossing an awful lot of T's and dotting a lot of I's.
The land it sits on comes with an agreement that it will only be used for recreational purposes, but Nick couldn't rule out that it may eventually be sold to a developer. It comes as Folkestone Swimming Club has vowed to stay afloat despite the sudden closure of the centre. The club has been without a home since July, but Chairman Ian Howes has assured their 300 members they are working to get everyone swimming together again.
I'd just like to say to our members that we are doing everything humanly possible to try and get back to our home of Folkestone Sports Centre. However, in the meantime, we will make sure we can get as many of you swimming as soon as possible so that we can continue supporting our athletes in the way that we always have in the past. This isn't an easy task, as pool space in the local area is difficult to find, but we've identified various options which we are still exploring. Obviously, we've got the three senior squads back in the pool already. Yesterday we managed to get swimmers into the Duke of York pool, which, whilst that is not the same as our own facilities, we are actually getting our swimmers swimming, which is incredibly important. One of the things we want to do, though, is get the whole club swimming again. To that end, we are exploring various different options. And whilst we won't all be together swimming at the same time as we have in the previous iterations of the club, we will get you all swimming again. It's important to note that we are not giving up on getting back to our home pool. There are actions going on in the background, pressuring those that need pressure put on them to actually try and get us back in as soon as possible. But until such time as the pool at Folkestone becomes available again, we will continue to train as and where we can and just keep the club alive and make sure that our athletes are getting the best that we can provide at any time.
More than 8,000 people have now signed a petition calling on council to save Folkestone Sports Centre.
Kent Online News.
A Kent man is among four people jailed for forging more than 2,000 marriage certificates allowing people to live in the UK illegally. The Home Office says they were part of an organised criminal group who exploited vulnerable people to make money. A 41-year-old from Gravesend has been locked up for 6 years. A fundraiser has been set up for a 12-year-old girl who suffered life-changing injuries in a crash between a school bus and a tractor in Mepham. Grace Tutt is still in hospital 3 months after it happened near Culverston Green. More than £100,000 has been raised to help with ongoing care and recovery. A 33-year-old man was arrested over the collision and has been released on bail. Four people have been charged after a violent attack outside a pub in Maidstone. A man was headbutted, stamped on and hit with a glass bottle in Earl Street earlier this month. He's since been discharged from hospital. The suspects are due at Crown Court in October. A petition has been launched for the Isle of Sheppey to have its own district council. At the moment, it's run by Swale, but residents are calling for more independent powers on things like housing, police, healthcare and transport. Our reporter Cara Simmons has spoken to Nikki Trower, who runs the Sheppey Action Group on Facebook.
I reckon we're about 24 issues that we've tried to tackle, and that's not just Swale, that is also with KCC. So the problem that we're having, or that we still currently have, is that whenever you try to highlight the issue, it is then the they're passing the buck between, oh, it's not our job to do that, it's Swales. You know, when it's KCC we go to, and they'll say, no, it's Swales. And it, or they'll turn around and say, actually, that issue goes to your parish and town councillors, which a lot has actually came back doing that. And we've went to them, and then they're saying, oh, well, no, actually, it's not us. And we're like, well, somebody just fix the issue. You either fix it, or you remove it, or you replace it. We're not asking a lot. You know, and because nothing positive has ever came from any of the issues and the emails that we have presented, it's now got to a point where residents have had enough and they want change.
Do you think that the island has different needs as well to Sittingbourne and Faversham?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I do. I think the island's unique. And I'm not just saying that because I love it here, but no, I really do. I think it's a unique place, and any island, I think, is unique. Our needs are different. Although it's a smaller population from Sittingbourne or, you know, Faversham or Maidstone, you know, it's a smaller population, but it's still a community.
What sort of needs are slightly different then to the mainland, would you say? What sort?
I would say our hospital, for one. It's not been used to its full potential. We could have an A&E up there, but we keep getting told there's no funds for it. So why not put a mobile A&E unit up there? You know, like what they do one down at Tesco, don't they, for emergency doctor appointments and things like that, I've seen. Do something like that. Our policing, there's another one. We were told we're getting 5 police officers allocated to the island per ward now. There's 6 to me. I counted the other day. There's actually 6 wards. Well, there's 6 parish councils and town councils. But Swale County is only 5 wards. So to me, that's not adequate, you know. We need a full-time police station on this island.
Bosses at Swale Council say they're struggling financially and any changes would be down to the government.
Kent Online News.
One person has been arrested after a police pursuit through Sheerness. Officers were called to reports of someone causing damage to a pub in Laysdown Road last Thursday night. A van fled the scene and was eventually stopped on the A2 near Brenly Corner. A 38-year-old Chatham man has been released on bail while inquiries continue. More funding has been announced for the Port of Dover and Eurotunnel at Folkestone to help prepare for new border checks. The entry-exit system comes into force this autumn for passengers travelling to the EU. An extra £10 million has been announced by the government to try and prevent disruption. Investigations are underway following a suspicious house fire in Sheerness. The blaze broke out in a building in Alexandra Street last Tuesday night. It's thought to have been empty for the last 10 years. A group of children are believed to have been inside just before the fire started. Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner says the government has scrapped funding for his immediate justice program. It was supposed to launch this autumn to tackle antisocial behaviour by making offenders pay back to the community within 48 hours of being caught. The government's now decided not to choose Kent as a location for the pilot scheme.
Kent Online News.
Members of a marine conservation charity say the stretch of water between Dover and Calais has become a hotspot for whales and dolphins. Orca have been working with cross-channel ferry services to count the number of sightings. They've recorded a high number of common dolphins, harbour porpoises and even a minke whale. Anna Bunny is their head of education.
In total this year, across all of the DFDS routes, so New Haven Dieppe, but also Dover Calais and Newcastle Amsterdam as well, so English Channel and the North Sea, we surveyed over 56,000 kilometres of waters. So that's sailing backwards and forwards, our volunteer teams going on board and searching for whales, dolphins and porpoises. And we saw 1,304 sightings of over 2,600 individual animals. And that's five different species as well. So it just goes to show how rich the waters around our coastline are for these incredible animals, which I don't think a lot of people know or appreciate.
And what makes them so rich? What makes them so attractive to whales and dolphins?
So these waters are, well, really diverse. We have a variety of different habitats. And we do see a lot of whales and dolphins, you know, all around the coast of the UK. But in the English Channel, you know, it's quite tricky to know if these numbers are kind of going up or going down. There's various different reasons why that might be, which we can talk about in a minute. But yeah, it's just these animals live in these really rich waters, which is fantastic.
And what would be some of the reasons behind an increase in sightings?
So it's quite a tricky one to answer, and it's quite complex as well. But quite simply put, it's something that does require a bit more analysis and investigations, which we will be doing in due time. But we've had a really large increase in the amount of harbour porpoise sightings on the Dover to Calais route. And that route, actually, we know is now a hotspot for these small animals. They're like dolphins, but a bit smaller, and they're a little bit different, a bit trickier to spot as well, because they're quite shy and quite small. But, you know, possible explanations for this are sort of, there's the relatively fast flows through the Strait of Dover, creating quite nice feeding opportunities. There's quite a lot of nutrient upwellings there, as well as we know that their prey species live there. So they like to feed on species like herring and flatfish that are abundant in that part of the channel. So it's often linked to prey. We've also recorded for the first time the minke whale, which is a species of baleen whale. They can grow up to about 10 metres long. So they're a large animal, but quite small compared to other larger whales like the blue whale, which are over three times as big. And again, we think that's linked to the prey availability as well. But what we really need to highlight here is that future monitoring is really crucial to continue to learn more and see if we spot minke whales this year and next year, and whether that's increasing or not. So it could be just a rare sighting, but hopefully it means that they are abundant in this area, because minke whales are quite common. A little bit further up in the North Sea, we spot them quite a lot on the Newcastle to Amsterdam route with DFDS as well.
There are plans to turn a derelict Victorian shelter on Margate Seafront into an outdoor dining space. The restaurant owner behind the £170,000 refurb of Marina's Cafe says the site on Marine Drive is only attracting troublemakers. His idea is to transform the space with music, festoon lights and pop-up events. Whitstable Rocks Oyster Festival will be back for another year. Organisers say the event was never in doubt, despite the dates only being confirmed last week. The three-day celebration of the historic oyster industry will include a food and drink festival, Festival and various events on September 14th, 15th and 16th. And scenes for the new Lord of the Rings spin-off have been filmed near Tunbridge Wells. Production crews for the Rings of Power use sandstone formations at the High Rocks and Harrison's Rocks as some of their locations. Season 2 is out tomorrow.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis Now and Kent's Emma Raducanu has been knocked out in the first round of the US Open. The former champion lost in three sets to American Sofia Kenin at the Grand Slam in New York overnight. And a Kent-born Paralympian has been telling us how his first coach set him up for success. Zach Skinner is a long jump competitor and 100-metre sprinter. He finished fourth at the Tokyo Games in the long jump, missing out on a medal by just 3 centimetres. He grew up in Tunbridge and says he still feels a strong connection to where his athletics journey began.
Yeah, very excited. I think it's the Olympics has made it seem like the last few weeks have dragged out even further, but I'm just excited to get out there now. I've got a couple more weeks of prep and then it's all guns blazing for the big competitions.
And it's your second Paralympics now. Does that add more pressure?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I haven't felt like it's added more pressure. I think it's made me more well prepared. And I think because of where I placed in Tokyo, it's made me probably hungrier and added more fuel to my fire to make sure I don't finish fourth again.
Yeah, you just missed out on it by a fraction. How did that feel in the moment? Has that, like you said, just done everything to spur you on now for this Paralympics?
Yeah, I think initially I didn't really process it very well. And I think it probably sat with me for longer than it should. But I think once I got over sort of in what I had probably seen as like a huge failure to be that close and still not come away with something, for me now it's just... It's made me realise how terrible it feels to come fourth. So I just want to make sure I get out there and do my best to win the competition, to be honest.
And it's an important conversation to have, the mental effect it can have on you when you finish just so close to the mark. And it can be really heartbreaking to then, and difficult to pick yourself back up and carry on going.
Yeah, it's sport is brutal and athletics can be really cruel, I think. And unfortunately, it's like this double-edged sword where like the lows outweigh the highs and the highs outweigh the lows. But then once you achieve that, it's a truly exceptional feeling and it's one I'm hoping to achieve later this summer.
How do you keep connected to where you're from and keep that support, I suppose, really close to you when you're in places like Paris?
Yeah, I think it's without Tunbridge and that athletics club, I wouldn't have even got into the sport. To have an athletics club, which I just walked to after school, was vital. I still speak to my first coach, who David Hull, and he basically set up everything that is happening right now. So for him, it's great to keep in contact with him and still pick his brains on certain things. And that training group is still close friends, and I still feel very well connected to sort of where my athletics journey began. I still like to do things with them and the support they offer me is great. So yeah, I think coming from such a supportive and well-networked background has really helped craft me into the athlete I am now.
He's in Paris, ready to represent Team GB in the Paralympic Games. The opening ceremony is tonight. Zach is also featured in a Channel 4 documentary called The Path to Paris, which follows athletes as they prepare for the Games. His episode is now available to stream. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.